Plato, Aristotle, Greek philosophers who used their minds to understand the world around them. What did they conclude? That there was no God? No. Aristotle and Plato and others concluded that there has to be a God. So if it was so illogical, how could the masters of logic come to the conclusion that there has to be a God? So we say, no. It's you saying there's no God that is in a state of illogic. You know, you are illogical. Your ideas are illogical. Logic points to the absolute existence of God. There has to be a God. So we can take them. They say, okay, what is your evidence? What is the proof? How do you logically come to the idea that there is a God? We can take it from what they call the ijma principle. Ijma, we know in Islamic law, means what? Consensus of agreement. You know, people agree. All the people agree on something, becoming Islamic law. Well, this was really in the case of the Sahaba and, you know, leading scholars, etc. So using this principle of ijma, we say, if you travel around the world, everywhere people believe in God. Everywhere, every nation, historically people have believed in God. This is something which seems to be by ijma. Everybody has a belief in God. Sure, the belief might be distorted, changed, you know, variations, but the basic belief in a supreme being is there everywhere. And recently, that is in 1997, scientists in the University of California at Berkeley, they analyzing the brain of patients who have various mental ailments connected with seizures, you know, brain anomalies or abnormal activities of the brain which cause them to pass out and go into comas and this type of things. They're studying people with these cases, probing different parts of the brain. They found that these people, in the course of their experiments, that there was a portion of the brain in the frontal lobe where, if this was stimulated, the people experienced powerful religious feelings, a sense of God and the presence of God, this kind of thing, you know. And that when they had seizures and it affected those areas, they had these experiences. So from those experiments, and it's in your notes there on page 57, they concluded that there was in the brain what they called a God spot. A God nodule. Or they call it that the brain is hotwired for belief in God. This is their own scientists who have come to that conclusion. For us, the other logical argument, which we usually find in the Quran, is the argument from design. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Will they not look at the camels and how they were created? Allah created the camel in a special way. In a way that he can cross the desert, he can retain liquids in his hump, you know, so that he can go without water for days on end. The way his feet are made to walk on the hot sands, which normally you couldn't handle, no other animal could handle it. You know, so many different characteristics which make the camel unique. Designed specifically for the desert. When Allah says, look at that design, He's saying, you had to have a creator, you had to have somebody who is going to design that. This is not something which comes about by accident. And this is the argument, really, of, you know, many of the Christian philosophers, etc., is around the argument from design. That design indicates a designer. Of course, the counter argument is that no, design could come from chance, from accident. You know, sometimes if you're painting, you splatter some paint on the wall. Somebody says, doesn't that look like a hand? You know, doesn't it look like a head or a foot or something like this? So splattering paint on the wall, you can get some things which look like things, you know, design things. But we say to them, okay, that can happen. But do you think that you could mix paint, different colors of paint in a bucket, throw it against the wall, right? And how many times you throw it? You throw it a million times, or however many times you want, you throw it against the wall. Do you think that at any time you will accidentally come out with Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa? You think that's going to happen anytime? By accident? Just keep throwing. They say yes. Yes. You have an infinite amount of time and you infinite amount of tries, and yeah, one of those times you'll get that. You know, this goes against common sense. This goes against common sense. Common sense tells you, hey, the first time you try it, the chances of it happening are what? Zero. Less than zero. And the billionth time that you try it, is it any different than the first time? No. So we say no. They usually give the example that if you put 100 monkeys in a cage, give them 100 typewriters, pieces of paper, and let them bang away at the keys with their nose, their elbows, their toes, anything, sit on the keys, whatever. Eventually, one of them is going to type out for you the whole of the Quran, if you give them Arabic typewriters. The whole Quran, from Fatiha to Nas. They usually give the example of the Bible. I'm just giving it in our context. Quran has more significance. The chances of that happening, we say zero. Don't tell us. Don't tell us that this is possible. This is not possible. But for them, anything is possible. And the whole issue of the Big Bang, this is what they're talking about, isn't it? A massive explosion of matter producing this world. With all the complex organisms and everything in it. From a massive explosion. We say to them, listen, common sense tells us that explosions produce chaos. They don't produce order. You take atomic bombs, you drop them in a junkyard. Right? You have a junkyard where they have bits and pieces of cars. You drop atomic bombs in that junkyard. Do you think there's a chance of one time an atomic bomb exploding in the junkyard and a Rolls Royce pops out? Door open, keys in the ignition, engine purring, you just need to just get in and drive away? Do you think there's a chance of that happening? No. But that's what they're saying. Human beings who are a billion times more complex than a Rolls Royce, being produced by the Big Bang. That is totally illogical. Totally unreasonable. That's why we say for them, they try to bring their thing as a logical thing. It's no. It goes against all logic and reason. When we see design, we assume that it was created by a designer. Somebody did it. You're walking on the beach, you see footprints in the sand, you don't stop to think, how amazing, the tide came in, sunk into the sand, and made a footprint. Look at that. No, you automatically assume somebody walked there ahead of you. That's your common sense. And for the Arabs, the ancient Arabs, they put it, you know, in a way, this is before even the Quran was revealed, they said, al-ba'ra yudullu ala al-ba'ir, that camel dung indicates the camel. Meaning you're riding out on the desert, you come across a clump of camel dung, you don't stop and think, how amazing, the sand, you know, rolled itself into a little ball and, you know, some things fell on it or whatever, and here you got thing looking like a camel dung. No, you assume a camel went by and did his droppings, right? That is common sense. But they want to say, no, maybe the sand did blow it, did roll together, something did fall on it, and that's how it happened, you know? No. We say this is illogical and unreasonable. So, the argument from design indicates really there had to be a design. In the Quran though, we do find in one place a purely logical argument that goes beyond the concept of design. It goes into creation itself. We find it in Surah Tur, verses 35 and 36.